Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So have you ever been out driving somewhere and you realized you missed your turn? Maybe you thought you knew where you were going, but you ended up completely lost and off course. This actually happened to me several years ago. This was in a time before smartphones and GPSs were a thing. And I got so lost, I had missed my turn, and then I took another wrong turn and another wrong turn. I got so lost, I had no idea where I was. I couldn't even find my way back home if I wanted to. And so I had to pull over and call my mom. Now, thankfully, even though smartphones were not a thing, cell phones were a thing, so I pulled my flip phone out, and I called my mom. And I described for her my surroundings as best as I could, and she was able to figure out where I was and give me directions so I could get back on track. You know, as I think about this, unfortunately, I think this can happen in our own lives. This can happen in our own faith journey. And so I think it's good for us to pause and to ask this question: where am I in my walk with the Lord? Am I a new believer? Am I a seasoned believer? Am I an unbeliever? Am I somewhere in between? Where am I in my walk with the Lord? But then also, where do I go from here? Or what is my next step? So we're in the middle of this series right now titled Next Steps. And my heart in this series is to create for us an opportunity. In the midst of the routines of this life, even in the midst of the routines of church, my desire has been to create an opportunity for us to pull over so that we can ask these important questions. But not only do I desire for us to ask these questions, my hope is that throughout this series, you've been able to answer this question: where am I in my walk with the Lord? And as you answer this question, my desire is that I've been able to provide for you some very clear next steps so that if you don't know where to go from here, you at least have some starting points. And prayerfully, regardless of where we might each be in our walk with the Lord, prayerfully, as we begin to take some of these next steps, we'll be able to move forward in our faith together. Now, so far throughout this series, we've talked about the first step of salvation, surrendering your life to Jesus Christ as Lord. If you have not yet taken that step, that is still the first step you need to take. Before you take any other step, first, you need to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Everything builds off of that step. But then we've talked about the next step of baptism, just like we watched Laban do this morning. Then we've talked about the step of church membership. Last week, we talked about the step of growing in your walk with the Lord. Well, what if you've taken all of those steps already? You would say, well, you know what? I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized already. I'm a member of this church. I'm growing in my walk with the Lord. I'm even part of a growth group. What's my next step? So this morning, we're going to talk about the next step of serving. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11 this morning. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Now, as you're turning there, I want to take you back up to Philippians 1:27. In Philippians 1:27, we read, "Just one thing, as citizens of heaven, live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ." A couple of things I want to highlight for you there from verse 27. First thing I want to highlight is that phrase, as citizens of heaven. And I want to give you this reminder. This world is not our home. This world is not our home. A few weeks ago, during our night of prayer, scripture reading, and worship, I read a quote from A.W. Tozer, and I'm just going to paraphrase this for you right now, but Tozer said, somewhere along the way, Christians have forgotten, they've stopped viewing this world as a battleground, but instead we've begun to view it as a playground. We've instead of remembering that we have a true and final home with Jesus, we've been making ourselves at home in this world, forgetting the things of heaven. But I want to remind you, if you've given your life to Christ, this world is not our home. I'm reminded of the old hymn, which says, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." This world is not our home, because we have a different home. We have an eternal home. We are citizens of heaven. But now let me highlight the second part, which really builds off the first part. As citizens of heaven, live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, recognizing that this world is not our home, recognizing that we're just passing through and our heavens are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, recognizing that this world is not a playground, but it is a spiritual battleground, then our lives should reflect that. Understand, when we truly grasp the gospel with our hearts, it will be clearly seen in our lives. Let me say that again. When we truly grasp the gospel with our hearts, it will be clearly seen in our lives. And one way that I believe that it will be seen in our lives is that we will have a desire to serve. I'm reminded of a lady that came to me a couple of years ago. She said, I'm just so thankful for what the Lord has done in my life. I'm so thankful for how the Lord has been moving in our church. I just want to serve. I just want to be used by God. Where can I begin serving? And that's just one small example. I've seen this time and time again as individuals become overwhelmed with gratitude with how the gospel has impacted their lives. A desire to serve is produced within their hearts. When we truly grasp the gospel with our hearts, it will be clearly seen in our lives. So now that we have this foundation, recognizing that we are not citizens of this world, but as believers, we are citizens of heaven, let's read our passage and see what more Paul has to say about serving. Philippians 2, 1 through 11, it says, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interests of others. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by pointing out the first few words of verse 1. Paul said, if then there is any. In other words, Paul is saying, if you see any of this present in your life, if you've experienced any of this, even a small amount, then this is how you should respond. This is how you should operate. The first thing he says, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love. Other translations combine the two and say, if there is any consolation of Christ. The word consolation means comfort. And so Paul is saying, if you've experienced any encouragement in Christ, if you've experienced any comfort in Christ, then this is how your life should look. And let me just tell you, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself and say, I have certainly experienced comfort and encouragement in Christ. Because Christ is the one who saved me. Christ is the one who redeemed me. Christ is the one who pulled me up out of the pit. Now, I realize that I gave my life to Christ when I was 5 years old. And so at 5 years old, I was not a hardened criminal, burdened by a life of crime or despair. That was when I was 10 years old. But even though I wasn't in a destitute place from an earthly perspective before I came to Christ, I certainly was in a destitute place from a spiritual perspective before I came to Christ. Because before I came to Christ, I was without hope. Spiritually speaking, before I came to Christ, I was separated from God. I was dead in my sins. And so at the age of 5, when my mom shared the gospel with me, and I got down on my knees next to my bed and prayed and asked Christ to forgive me and to be the Lord of my life, Christ pulled me up out of that pit. And so, yes, there is great encouragement in Christ. There is great consolation of love from Christ. And prayerfully, you have experienced that encouragement and comfort from Christ in your own life as well. But the second thing he says, if then there is any fellowship with the Spirit. Now, as Baptists, we like that word fellowship because typically it's followed with the word meal. Now, last week we had a fellowship meal. We had our chili cook-off, our first annual Super Bowl chili cook-off. And let me just say congratulations to our winner, myself. Not Palmer, but myself. If you'd like to see the trophy, it is in my office. But we had a great time of fellowship last Sunday night. Next Sunday, this was not in the announcement video, but next Sunday evening, to coincide with our quarterly family meeting, we're actually going to have a big fellowship meal. I would encourage you to come to this. We're going to be celebrating hitting that $850,000 goal for our youth and children's building. And so, while I've already shared, we're still raising funds for the furnishings of that building. That's going to be around $150,000 to $200,000. We're still raising those funds, and God is continuing to provide. We want to pause and celebrate what the Lord has already done, how He has provided that $850,000. So be a part of that fellowship meal next Sunday night. But that word fellowship, it simply is the idea of coming together. And for the believer, because of Christ, we have fellowship with the Spirit because when we give our lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. But I want to take this a step further because not only do we have fellowship with the Spirit as individuals, but we also have, as a church, fellowship with the Spirit. In fact, I would say it this way, a church family is a group of people in fellowship with the Spirit together. Because as I am in fellowship with the Spirit and as you are in fellowship with the Spirit, when we come together, we are in fellowship with the Spirit together. A church family is a group of people in fellowship with the Spirit together. And so if you're a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, you're a member because first, you gave your life to Christ at some point in time. And then, somewhere along the way, whether recently or in years past, You said, I believe God is calling me to unite my life with this church body here, to come and to be a part of the mission here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. And so as a result, what we see is that as we are in fellowship with one another, with the Spirit together, as a result, the next step for us is service. I said this a couple of weeks ago, but I'll say it again. God has not called us to simply come and sit. God has called us to come and serve. And so recognizing that service is the next step that we've been called to, there are three things about service that I want you to see from our passage this morning. First, I want you to see that service is a vehicle for our purpose. At the end of verse 2, Paul says that we are to be intent on one purpose. Well, what is our purpose? Well, as believers, we're called to love God and to love others. And we are called to proclaim the gospel. In fact, we see this call to proclaim the gospel. It's Jesus' final command before he ascended to heaven, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And while this may be what all believers are called to, we've made it very clear that here at our church, that we at First Baptist Church Stockdale, we are called to do these things as well, to love God and to love others and to go and make disciples. In fact, we have a simple mission statement here, to love, to grow, to serve, and to go. And you can see that mission, including those two important things sandwiched on either side, to love God and love others and to go into all the world. But how do we accomplish this mission? If point A is recognizing that we're to love God and love others and we're to go into all the world, and point B is we are accomplishing this mission, how do we get from point A to point B? Well, every year, our family, we go on vacation together. And even though I know the statistics that it's safer to go on a plane than in a car, I still prefer to travel in a car. I still don't trust planes all that much. And so our vacations usually involve a road trip. And so we begin at point A, then we get in our car and we travel to point B. But imagine if we were to pick our destination, wherever that might be. A couple of years ago, it was Disney World. This last year, it was Branson. Imagine if we were to pick our destination. We were to pick that point B. But then, instead of getting in the car to go, we simply stood around in our living room waiting to get there. Right? We would go nowhere fast. So in the same way, the only way for us to get from point A to point B in our church is with a vehicle. And I want you to hear me, service is that vehicle. If no one is willing to serve, if no one is willing to step up and to move our mission forward, then as a church, we go nowhere fast. And it can be so easy for a church to get to that point where it is going nowhere fast. And I want to tell you what it sounds like when a church begins to go nowhere fast. It sounds a little something like this. Someone else will do it. Someone else will serve. And listen, that may be true for a time. Someone else may do it for a time. Someone else may serve for a time. But what happens when the people serving get burnt out and they stop serving? Or what happens when you have a generation of faithful servants who begin to pass away, and there's no one who has stepped up to begin serving? Well, first, ministries start shutting down, and then attendance starts to drop, and then a church starts shutting its doors. Church, may we never have that attitude of someone else will do it. May we never have that attitude of someone else will serve, but instead, may we have an attitude from the Lord that says, yes, Lord, I will serve. In whatever way needed, Lord, I will serve that First Baptist Church Stockdale may continue to accomplish our mission long into the future. So service is a vehicle for our purpose. Second, I want you to see that service is an overflow of our humility. Let's look at verse 3 again. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Service is an overflow of humility. Understand, when we serve, it's because we recognize that we are not above service, regardless of person or position. You know, back when my dad was the pastor here of this church back in the 80s, there was a man that went to this church by the name of Bert Henderson. Some of y'all may remember that name. Bert would take care of the buildings and grounds. In fact, for back in the 80s, he mowed the grass and he swept the sidewalks. And so anytime he was out there sweeping the sidewalks, my dad would send my sister and I outside to sweep the sidewalks with him. Now, two things happened over the years as my sister and I served Mr. Henderson in this way. First, it built a relationship with him. That's what service does. When we serve with people, when we serve people, or when we serve alongside people, it builds a relationship with people. I see this all the time. People that come to church, and maybe they come for years and they feel somewhat disconnected, but when they begin serving with others, that's when real relationships are built. And they begin to feel part of the church family. Service builds relationships with others. For years after we moved away, Bert would send my sister and I a card in the mail thanking us for all of those times that we would go out and sweep the sidewalk with him. Service builds relationship, but second, it taught me the importance of humility and service from an early age. And so my commitment has always been to lead with an attitude of humility and to serve in any way I can. Listen, I realize I'm the pastor, but I want you to hear me. I am not above service. As a pastor, I've plunged toilets, I've mopped floors, I've even climbed into dumpsters so I could jump on it and make room for more trash. That's not something they teach you in seminary. But there's an attitude that we're called to have as believers, and it's the attitude to say, I'm not too good for that. That's not below me. Yes, I'm willing to do even that so that I can further the kingdom of God. When we serve, it's because we recognize that we are not above service, regardless of person or position. But I want to share with you another side to humility, and this is for those who are currently serving. You are a faithful servant here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Let me share another side of humility. I've seen this happen in churches for years, and so this is not unique to this church. But another side to humility is being humble enough to allow someone to come alongside you to serve. And this is what I've seen happen for years in churches. Someone's in the middle of doing something, serving. Let's just say, for the sake of this story, setting up tables, setting up chairs. All right, you're in the middle of serving. Someone comes and says, how can I help? And your response is, it's okay, I've got this. Don't worry, I've got this. Now, I realize that we believe this is coming from a place of humility. Because when we say, don't worry, I've got this, We believe that we're serving even the person that has asked to come and help us. So it's okay, I've got this, don't worry. But what we do unintentionally when we say, oh, don't worry, I've got this, what we do is we unintentionally fail to raise up new leaders. We fail to raise up new servants. And then we find that we've been serving in a position for 20 to 30 years, and we have raised up no one new to replace us. So when someone says, how can I help? The appropriate response is not, I've got this. The appropriate response is to bring them alongside you and to teach them to do what you're doing. Teach them to do what you're doing. So service is a vehicle for our purpose, and it's an overflow of our humility. Finally, this morning, I want you to see that service is a reflection of our Lord. Let's look at verse 5 again. It says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Service is a reflection of our Lord. Why should we serve? Well, if we don't have reason enough already, the primary reason we should serve is because Jesus served. And we've been called to live like him and to look like him in this world. And I want you to realize Jesus didn't serve because it was easy. Jesus served because it was necessary. It was not easy to come into this world to be rejected by man. It was not easy to ultimately be crucified on the cross. As God, sure, Jesus could do anything, but in human flesh, he still had to endure the painful beatings, those terrible nails driven into his hands and feet and the crown of thorns shoved onto his head. But not only that, Jesus had to endure the wrath of his Father being poured out on him in our place. It wasn't easy, but it was necessary. It was necessary so that you could be forgiven, so that I could be forgiven, so that we could be redeemed. Jesus didn't serve because it was easy. Jesus served because it was necessary. And so if Jesus is willing to serve in the most difficult of ways because it was necessary, then how much more should we have the attitude to say, Lord, let me serve in any way necessary today? We've got plenty of ways to serve here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Now, let me just say, we're not called only to serve within these church walls. We are called to go out into the world and to serve in our community, to serve in our families, to serve in our schools, to serve in our workplaces. But when we come together, we have places to serve here as well, whether it's children's church, children's choir, youth, teaching a growth group, praying in the prayer room, scripture reading, media team, safety team. Listen, we are not short on areas to serve, but we could always use more people willing to serve. And I want you to see this. Jesus became a servant by becoming one of us. The call for us is to become like him by becoming a servant. Jesus became a servant by becoming one of us. The call for us is to become like him by becoming a servant. Service is a vehicle for our purpose. It's an overflow of our humility, and it is a reflection of our Lord. But maybe today you still have not taken that first step of salvation. Let me just remind you, before you take any other step, that's the step you need to take. Before you begin serving, first you need to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Remember, we are not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. And so no amount of serving will earn you a place in the kingdom of God. That's only through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. And so today, if you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ as Lord, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And if that's you, if you would say, today I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I recognize that he died for me. I recognize that that he rose again, and if I call upon his name, I will be saved. If that's you, then as we sing this song, I would invite you to come. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, well, I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism like Laban did this morning. And today I need to make that commitment to take that next step, to publicly profess Christ as Lord in that way. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already, and I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. And I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to unite my life with this body of believers. If that's you, I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Today, you can become a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. But maybe you're here and you would say, you know what? I've been doing a lot of sitting and not a lot of serving. And maybe the Lord is calling you today to take a step of service. Listen, you can make a commitment to the Lord right where you're at. If you need someone to pray with you, I'd be happy to do that. You can call the church office this week if you want and say, where can I serve? We have some places on the back table that you can sign up to begin serving, whether it's the prayer room, whether it's bringing food on Wednesday nights, whether it's being a part of our safety team, there's areas that you can sign up to begin serving. But if that's the step you need to take, then I would encourage you to be obedient. Whatever it is that the Lord's calling you to do this morning, take that step of obedience today. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.